Our Father in heaven, we thank you this evening in the name of the Lord Jesus. Yeah, we feel that presence, that joy of your presence is right with us. Peace I live with you, my joy I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, as you give it unto us. In the world, you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, the Lord said, have overcome the world for us in the name of Jesus. So now we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith, he has dealt to us measures of faith, and by his grace we are now able to grow, growing exceedingly in the name of the Lord Jesus. To the moving of any kind of mountain in the mighty name of Jesus. Say unto you, have faith like a grain of mustard seed. Another place, you will say to this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the other place. It shall obey you, he said. What authority, what power vested in us in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for all you have done for us, Lord. Delegation of authority and dominion unto us. We are now his eyes, we are your feet, we are your arms. Whatever you reach to this world now is through the church, the body of Christ. We thank you, Father. He that believeth on me, the work that I do, shall he do also. And even greater works than this shall they do, because I go to the Father.
Amen.
Father, we worship and we adore you. It is our hour, in the name of the Lord, to commit the generation to the hand of the Lord, to bring in the harvest, to usher in the coming of the Lord. That the usher in, David said, to bring back the King, in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you tonight as we read your word tonight. Always depending upon the Holy Spirit. Never, never to limit our understanding in the name of the Lord. And as we do tonight, Lord, you will again bless us. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We're going to move forward in the book of Revelation. We've been sitting on the Matthew chapter. Tonight we just move a little bit forward. We are never in a rush, isn't it? We know for many of the brethren, it's a refresher course. And that has a place in the Bible too. In the book of Peter, though you know these things, amen? And so you put us in remembrance of them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The song may be new, that's okay too, So let's see quickly the first few verses that we did in the Nathan chapter. Remember that chapter in the earlier verses of it? We read of the judgment of the great war. See? Both Mystery Babylon and Commercial Babylon and things like that, And also in the earlier chapter of the 19th chapter of Revelation, we also read in heaven the voice out of a multitude, as the voice of mighty water. He said, as the voice of mighty thundering. I was here for it tonight, saying hallelujah, reverberating all over heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. For the Lord God, omnipotent reigning. Which we know what's going on in heaven, as far as we can put together from the other scriptures, is nothing but the coronation of Christ, praise God. And that's what is really taking place in India. And we also read in the earlier verses of that chapter the marriage of the Lamb and his wife having made herself ready. So tonight we move a little bit further in the 19th verse of that chapter, Revelation chapter 19. And we start from there tonight, not to repeat so many things to save time. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourself together unto the supper of the great God, that he may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. So, we see here this peculiar apocalyptic phrasing we are reading about is found not only here in the book of Revelation, but even in various prophecies of the Old Testament, and the language is so characteristic that we can hardly mistake it at all. To me, Armageddon, It is a call to the fowls of the heavens to gather at Armageddon to the great slaughter that God has prepared. Divine judgment is about to be executed on the alien hosts which have gathered there from all over the world, according to the scriptures, you know. So we will recall in our previous reading in the in the second world. Remember, the second world is sixth fire, right? There are three worlds, the six, the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh, right? In the 16th chapter. So we are saying that this thing that the Bible is talking about here, is all about the Bible too. So in the 16th, let's go to that sixth fire really quickly, so we can put them together. 16th of Revelation, the 12th verse. And the sixth angel poured out his fire upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the king of the earth, and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. See? Blessed is he that watches. Amen. And keepeth his garment, you know, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. That was he talking about in the 19th chapter and some of that, you know. Even when we are in the 16th chapter, I think we skip back to this chapter about Armageddon and so on, but we can't talk about God's word too much. So, what we see in Revelation 19 that we just read at the 17th verse and 18th, are the armies having reached their appointed rendezvous. Beloved brethren, what a rendezvous with destiny it is. Amen? Praise the Lord. See? So, when we were in college, brother, we remember, we make this poster to have meetings. One of the bullet points we always put there is this. Begin to understand the book of Daniel, Ezekiel, the prophet, and the book of Revelation, amen? Begin to understand the prophets, amen? Because in this, nobody talk about these things has to do with the letter of God, amen? At the end of time. So 40 years later, I'm talking about the same prophecy, amen? Praise the Lord. Anyway, so these armies, we are told, represent the armies of the kings of the earth. And we are going to see the armies of the beasts are there too. The armies of the 10 kings that join with him are there. And let's begin that very quickly to refresh our mind back in the book of Daniel that we did, and the other chapter of the book of Revelation. In Daniel 7, I said the armies of the 10 kings that join with the beast will be there too. In Daniel 7:24, and the 10 horns out of his kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and it shall be divers from the first, and it shall subdue 3 kings. Then so that those ten kings talking about here, 13th of Revelation verse 1. So we are talking about the armies of the 10 kings will be there that join with the beast and so on. Revelation 13 verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. Then one more scripture about these 10 kings, 17th of Revelation, the 12th verse. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. So those power, those kingdoms, their armies will be there at Armageddon, and some of that, you know, according to the scriptures here. So for the kings of the east are there too, and which no doubt include the nations of the Orient, the Chinese and so on, that you know, the Japanese and so on, the Orient, they will be there. Russia and its confederation will be there. Armageddon and so on, that you know. Upon all this, the apocalyptic judgment is about to fall. All these armies of the world around Jerusalem and so on, at the end of time, you know, we'll be there, and come judgment upon them. For that reason, the call has gone forth where we are living now, to the fowls of the air, to gather to the feast of the day of God Almighty. Well, there are many other scriptures really that mention the event of Armageddon. Let's touch while we are in the air right now, and this chapter mentions it. Let's pull in some of the other scriptures to see the manifold wisdom of God. How this Bible is just saying one Bible, amen? Amen. And you see, about 30 authors, I believe it is, God used to put together this Bible. They lived in centuries apart, amen? Mm-hmm. These people know each other, some of them, praise God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they wrote, and everything is in harmony. Only God can do that, amen? No other book like this book, amen? Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. It is the word of the living God. Mm-hmm. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's see that place in the Bible that talk about the events of the Armageddon. There are other important parallel prophecies that relate to the battle of Armageddon. Let's see, Joel the prophet. Prophet Joel spoke of the coming of the day of the Lord. Let's touch on that very quickly. You know, so Joel chapter 1, reading from verse 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and stand at hand in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. For it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of a thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There has not been any ever like that, neither shall be any.
Chapter 1.
Oh, am I in 2?
Yes.
Sorry. Okay, I said one. I'm so sorry.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Okay, can I? Do you hear that? Can I repeat it, or are you fine? Okay, praise God. Okay, I'm so sorry. Praise God. I put one there. Okay, praise God. So let us be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Sorry. So that yeah, you know. So this prophet also spoke of another army. You know, just prophet of another army that will descend upon Israel. Which the Lord will destroy and save Israel. That is in verse 20 of Joel 2. But I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east, see, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea. And his king shall come up, and all his savor and his ill savor come up, because he has done great things. Now, so we are further told how God will gather all nations into the land of Israel and there play with them. See in the book of Joel, the third chapter, you know, talking about the same event, verse 1, Joel 3:1. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, and we also gather all nations, and we bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and we plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. And look at this, and passed my land. You call it my land, amen?
Amen.
The land of the Palestine, the land, the most valuable real estate in the whole world, amen? It's right in the center of the world. God put it there. Praise the Lord. See? All these people divided. He said, because it's my land, you know. He gave it to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all that. It's forever. Bible says forever. Praise the Lord. Let us pray for Israel. They are in the middle of political crisis right now. Netanyahu, if he wins again, will be the longest reigning prime minister in Israel. If he does, praise the Lord. I don't know what it means, but just passing by. I have a lot of trouble right now. And yesterday or so, was it yesterday? And so I think people there are many things against him in India and some of that, you know. So anyway, by the way, praise the Lord. So let us always pray for Israel, just as the Bible admonishes us, you know. So when Bible says the value of so all the people, some Christians don't know the scripture, try to side with those who want to divide the land. And so in fact his promise was that I think he said Jordan Valley. He will declare it as part of this, as that, you know, the West Bank, as that, you know, part of it. He was saying that if annexed it, and so I'll make it part of Israel if he wins again, you know. So those who are dividing the land of Israel, they don't know what they are doing. They are against God. God says, my land.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
See? So anyway, so let's go. So the valley of Jehoshaphat, what's that? It's a reference, if you remember the other in the Old Testament, to the great deliverance God gave Jehoshaphat when Judah was invaded by powerful armies during his reign. This supernatural victory recorded in 2 Chronicles 20, a very, very familiar scripture to many, many preachers and so on, came as a result of the prayers of the people of God. And it's an obvious foreshadowing of the battle of Armageddon. For sure he then cast their shadows behind. Praise the Lord. So don't see the ordinary history. God haven't called the end from the beginning. Amen. So he even depicted Armageddon right there in that invasion of Judah in the time of Jehoshaphat. Praise the Lord. He did, you know, it could be history. In the Bible is a history book, the book of science, true science, amen. Book of astronomy, praise the Lord. You know, because God's word, praise the Lord. So it was foreshadowing Armageddon, you know, far to come in the future and some of that, you know. So, and we can even see the parallel between Armageddon and this invasion of Judah. You see the valley of Jehoshaphat, right? Let's see some parallels in there. And first of all, the children of Judah had the ominous report that a powerful coalition of armies from the surrounding nations are advancing against them. That is 2 Chronicles 21 to 2. I won't go to read that. Let us leave it there. And this event foreshadowed, like I said, the gathering of the nations against Jerusalem in the great and terrible day of the Lord. Far, far in the future, God depicting this one and so on, as you know. Number two, so we see Jehoshaphat calls upon his people to fast and see the Lord. I always like his prayer, you know. We have done this people no harm. Even when we are coming to this land, those whom we even favor, they have now come to reward us evilly, right? You know, and they all guys together to come and destroy us. And they were so numerous, and that they have greater weapons. And Joseph has said, "You don't know, you know, let people know what to do, amen. But our eyes are upon you, amen. Praise the Lord. And it's a great lesson. When you don't know what to do, begin to keep your eye on the Lord, amen. While they were waiting upon the Lord, Judah and Jerusalem, and their little ones seeking the Lord and so on, there came a prophecy. Here is what you ought to do, O Judah and Jerusalem. Just set your path apart and begin to set to praise the beauty of holiness. Amen. That's what you to do in the time of crisis, right? When you are short of what to do, I always want to learn from that. Praise God. So you can take that from the prophecy. Here is what you ought to do. Praise God. Anyway, so Jehoshaphat called upon his people to fast and seek the Lord. So also at the end of the age, when the northern army comes down against Israel, God calls upon the people of Jerusalem and the surrounding country to humble themselves by prayer and fasting as did their ancient forebears. Amen? That's what happened. Number three, God answered the prayers of Jehoshaphat. Of course, we know that. And I remember that. Brother Shah was here. And we even had the 20, April 20 or something like that, we had the valley of Beraka. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
For the victory of the Lord, you know. So in that thing, when the Lord won the victory for them, they had a valley of Beraka praising God, right? Praise the Lord. Anyway, so God answered their prayers, you know, of Jehoshaphat and so on, by telling them to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You know, sometimes we have to do that. We have to do that real thing. The battle is not your battle, amen. In many cases, it's the Lord's, you know. And they should not have to fight for this fight. For this was to be the Lord's battle. Let's quickly read that. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 17. He said, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not. That is the devil's tool, right?
Mm-hmm.
When things are happening around you, they force you to most people to fear, right? God hasn't given all the spirit of bondage to fear again, eh? But the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Fear not, not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go ye against them, for the Lord will be with you. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
While they were praising God, came prophecy and so on. You know, what a great lesson. Thus, it will be at Armageddon too. God himself will come forth and fight against this nation. Zechariah the prophet told us in the 14th chapter of his prophecy, verse 3. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, and when he fought in the day of battle. You see, can you see the parallels right there? What happened in the day of Jehoshaphat? God even calling the end from the beginning. There's another reason, another parallel. Great destruction set upon the armies that came against Jehoshaphat. In verse 24 of 2 Chronicles 20, let's see the destruction that came upon those invaders. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies, falling to the earth, and none escaped. The Lord fought for them, amen. Praise the Lord. See? So, and then the children of Israel, what did they do? And Judah went for to take the spoil. And that is in verse 25, 2 Chronicles 20. And when the Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, and they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off of themselves, and more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. Praise the Lord. Like David of old, he has boasted in the name of the Lord. When he encountered Goliath, right? He said, "Today I'm going to bring out your head." And just like, you know, and the fount of the air, and something like that, you know. And I'm going to cut off your head, and something like that, you know. And he knelt down, he wasn't ashamed of the Lord. He knelt down before the two armies, amen, and fell upon the name of the Lord. Truly enough, called his head and took his golden crown and put upon his head, amen. David, the man of war, praise the Lord. So they took a great spoil here. 3 days, he was still gathering, you know, all these things, and that, you know. Okay, let's quickly look at Zechariah and Armageddon. It will be a long night. We just want to extend, since Revelation 19 mentioned it, I want to bring in these other scriptures that also talk about the same subject. Zechariah 14, which I've been reading before, the fourth one, also talk about Armageddon. Zechariah 14, 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and that spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. So here we are told that the city of Jerusalem is actually taken as spoil. The women are ravished by the invaders, and the one half of the city taken into captivity. Well, it is this critical moment that the Lord Himself intervenes and takes a hand in affairs, amen. Mm-hmm. Intervenes for the people, because in verse 3 of that same chapter, which I read before earlier on, in the parallel, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. So, and now follows a rapid succession of dramatic events in this Armageddon thing. Destruction forced upon the invading host, as at the at the same time, a mighty earthquake shook Jerusalem at that time, you know, according to the scriptures, you know, causing the Mount of Olives to even cleave into two. So what a thing. What kind of thing begin to happen around that time? So a great plague comes upon the invaders, and their flesh consumed away. Let's see verse 12 with Zechariah 14 and what it says there, you know, the punishment when the Lord intervened. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. Well, before 1945, we were wondering what kind of plague is that, you know. We now know the atomic radiation, you know, we do it. Hydrogen bomb, we do it. See, right? Idea, you know, we do it. So, the Almighty God, you know, knowing what He's doing. So, the verses which follow, which I just read now, show that the plague will be extended to the animals, to the horses, the camels, the moose, and beasts that have been brought along with the invading army. Now, so during the confusion that is occurring at that time, or the great earthquake and so on, every man, and the Bible says, will be against his neighbor. And they will fight and destroy one another, just like in the days of Jehoshaphat. This is a great slaughter to which the boss of heaven are invited, as we read in the 19th chapter, in the verse we began with. Thereafter, and the Bible says, the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. That is Zechariah 14:5. Say, then the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. His feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives, according to the scripture. And that is very mountain, or mount from which the Lord ascended to heaven. Amen. He's going to come back again. So, well, we always say it, there are many comings of the Lord. He's come one time already to redeem the race, you know. Second time, not all people will see him. Coming to receive his bride, amen. What you call the rapture. Anybody in the future be at that time, you know. That time, he won't even touch the ground, amen. Bible says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. See? And with the voice of the archangel, and with the sound of a trumpet, and the dead in Christ shall rise forth. And we that are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4:16 through 19, I believe it is, you know. So we don't even touch the girl, down. No. So that is the real second coming of Christ. But here is a visible appearance of the body of the Lord. Amen. He said with his saints. How can he come with his saints except he first of all raptured them? Amen. Right, clear. Praise the Lord. It's just so clear right there, you know. So, and coming with us, raptured us and so on, you know. And the historic event, this event takes place immediately after the destruction of the armies at Armageddon. Zechariah then describes briefly the setting of the Messianic kingdom and the beginning of the reign of Christ. I think in any tonight, I don't want to prolong the night, we can read that verse 16 of Zechariah 14, the Messianic kingdom coming and so on, that, you know, verse 16, and I quickly read up to 21. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feast of tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And the family of Egypt go not up, and come not, that have no rain. There shall be the plague, wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the feast of tabernacles. They shall be the punishment of Egypt, and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the feast of tabernacles. In that day shall there be upon the best of the horses holiness unto the Lord. And the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and sit therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanites in the house of the Lord of hosts. Just the Zechariah concluding, you know, the kingdom, the Messianic kingdom, he just wrote briefly like that and some of that, you know. So now let's finish this chapter 19 tonight, you know, by reading next verse. So verse 20 of Revelation 19, which is talking about the end. What is the end of the Antichrist and the false prophet? See? We've been a long way with this them and some of them since certain chapter of Revelation, right? Riding through those chapters so that you know what is the end thereof. Revelation 19:20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. So that is the end, as it were, of the Antichrist and the false prophet and so on. Well, the Antichrist and the false prophet, as far as we know, are the first ones to be committed to this terrible place called the lake of fire and so on. You know, they are the first ones to be cast in there, as far as we know. Well, they are committed in there. Usually people, when they die and so on, that you know, they go into Hades, but not these two. Amen? Praise the Lord. Other people, when they die, they go into Hades, if they are not Christians and so on, before they appear the white throne judgment. But these two personalities, why like that? They went straight into the lake of fire. Why? Why is that? The reason is that there is scriptural evidence that the beast and the false prophet have existed at an earlier time in history. They have. Just like the two witnesses of Revelation 11, right? They have been here before, right? Praise the Lord. So we know Elijah and, Moses and Elijah, they have been here before. So these two personalities have been here before. And let's look at some scriptures that bear this out, why they have to go directly to the lake of fire, you know. So, and so we notice that out of their mouth came an army of demons and lying spirits, indicating their diabolical character. We are told that the beast has ascended out of the bottomless pit. We are showing that they have been here, you know, and some of that, you know, before and so on. Revelation 11:7 says that, and when they shall have finished their testimony, meaning the two witnesses, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war with them and shall overcome them and kill them. Now, Revelation 17:8, the beast that thou sawest was, you see that, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. So we are saying why they were cast in the lake of fire directly, not going through ages like other ordinary men. Now, and the false prophet, what about him? He was here before too. Comes out of the earth, the Bible says, starting of Revelation verse 11, finishing up right here, and it says, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two arms like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, the religion and political, praise the Lord, you know, like a dragon. When we are getting ready, we talk about that a lot. Don't forget, you know, in days of Saul, right? You know, he has disobeyed the Lord. Samuel has done gone with the Lord, right? In 1 Samuel 28, talking about coming out of the earth, right? The witch of Endor. You know what happened there without going through the story? Just read one verse there. 1 Samuel 28:13. And the king said unto her, meaning Saul, said unto the witch of Endor, be not afraid, for what saidst thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw God ascending out of the earth. These are natural beings, amen. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so they have been here before, these two personalities, the beast and the false brother, and so they were cast directly into the lake of fire, you know. This expression indicates that these individuals had had a previous existence, and they indeed are satanic beings from the pit. That's what they are. They have had their hour, and so on, that you know, they are now cast into the lake of fire, like we read before in that. That verse. So we are told about the fate of the rest of the armies of the beast. What they are aimed to in the 21st verse of Revelation 19 that you are reading. What happened to the armies of the beast? The rest of them is right there in the Bible, 21 of Revelation 19. And the remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, as the Lord Jesus Christ, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh, just as the Lord announced before when he summoned them to that place. Praise the Lord. I don't want to go any further tonight, so that should be the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. We'll say about 3 sessions on that. Before we go to the 20th chapter, by God's grace, whenever that time is, we take time to complete the events of the battle of Armageddon or Armageddon, we will consider the northern army that you are talking about. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the northern army. What's that? You know, we will see. We will see how that ties in with the Ezekiel prophecies. Amen. See, on the same subject. In Armageddon. The latter, meaning Ezekiel, how it ties in with the book of Revelation, we'll be reading all three books, Joel, Ezekiel, Revelation, are in perfect agreement and unison on this subject. Praise the Lord. So, we're talking about that, you know, the northern army, rush. Ezekiel calling the rush. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then we'll start another session before we go to the 20th chapter, and before we'll be closing the book of Revelation pretty soon. I don't know how many more sessions. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So what's our joy? You know, is that the Lord opened this unto us for the bride to make herself ready. Amen?
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. We are at the end of the age. No matter how we look at it, you know, even ordinary man knows something is about to happen. They don't know it, but the church of the living God, the true church, they know what it is. And so the greatest event since Christ ascended to heaven is the rapture of the church. Amen?
Amen.
And it's round about the corner. The day and the hour we don't know. That as a mystery to us. So to keep us watching and praying. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord. We know the thought that you take towards us. Thought of peace, not of evil, to give us the expected end. In the name of our Lord Jesus. We will never forget your word to us, Lord, that it is your good pleasure to give us the kingdom in the name of the Lord. The 14th chapter of John. If I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Now where I am, there you may be also. So we know this scripture, and but you show us all these things, but to quicken our pace, to make ourselves ready, so that we not be caught unaware. As a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell upon the face of the earth. And also you told us also that in all these things, the rush of events, that is, it be like a flood, and we are seeing it right now. You know, our knowledge has increased tremendously. As Daniel 12:4 said, we are living at the end time. You know, so and so Lord, so to be watching and praying. So we are children of light, not of the night. That day will not come upon us unaware. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Make ourselves ready according to the word of the Master. And Lord, we need patience too also. You told us in many scriptures, because there will be tendency to be nervous, you know, unless we are really close to the Lord and keeping the word of your, that you have warned us about. And having patience, you know, you told us in the book of James, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. The husbandman himself, waiting for the precious fruit of the heart, and even has long patience until she receives the early and the better rain. Even the Lord himself said, in your patience, possessing your souls. We need it at the end of time, we need it right now. And the Revelation 3:10, you told us also that because I have kept the word of my patience, I also will keep you for the hour of temptation that I come to try all that dwell on the face of the earth. We have touched on that part of the subject tonight. We try all that is in the world, the armies of the world, and so on, Armageddon, and so before that the Antichrist reigning, that the mark of the beast before that time, there is no buying and no selling unless you get a mark. These are the hour the Lord said will deliver us from. Faithful is he who has promised, who also will do it. So Lord, we thank you, we worship you, and we adore you, Lord. Help us to keep our part of the covenant, and we will not be ashamed. The epistle taught us that we pray that we will not be ashamed before him at his coming, but have confidence in that day. Whatever time it is, whether it comes in the morning or in the evening, whether the cock crow in the morning at midnight, makes no difference. We want to be ready. Help us, Lord. And he taught us, watch therefore and pray always, that we may be accounted worthy to escape all these things and stand before the Son of Man. That's our prayer tonight, Lord. And we know you will grant it. We thank you for blessing us. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen, amen. Bless you in the name of the Lord. So now, Brother Charles, we just have